Well, good morning. Morning, everyone. Welcome to Open Arms Church. Whether you are here in person, whether you are watching us online, we're glad that you have decided to join with us for worship this morning. It's a little chilly out there. Hopefully, as you sit in here, you'll warm up, rub those hands together, keep them warm. You know, speaking of warm, let me just mention this. We are very hopeful as the weather improves, as it gets a little bit warmer, maybe around Memorial Day, to be able to start to gather once again in a little bit different way as we get into the summer. So we're looking forward to that. Until then, in the meantime, I'd like to encourage you to consider something. Those of you that are here at the 9 o'clock service, and I'm going to say a similar message to those at the 11 o'clock, hang out. Hang out after. Connect with one another and hang out. And we're going to encourage people at 11 o'clock to come early so that you can see each other, so that you can connect with each other. One of the things that has been hard, we've felt it, many of you have felt it, we've heard it from you, is that it's like we're seeing half the family. We're at a family reunion with half the family present. And so we invite you to hang out with each other. And as people from the 11 o'clock service come, you get to see them, get to say hi. Be intentional in those conversations. Ask one another what the Lord is doing. If you're at home, reach out to someone. Make a phone call. Send an email. Be intentional. Take initiative with that, as many of you are already doing. Let's find ways to continue connecting and encouraging one another during the season. This Valentine's Day, let's remember the most important love that has ever been shown to us, will ever be shown to us. Would you join with me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, indeed, we thank you for your love for us, your love for us despite the fact that naturally, in our flesh, we're sinners, we're enemies of yours. But greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down their life for their friends. And Jesus, you laid down your life even while we were your enemies. And for those who put their trust in you, you now call us friends. And that relationship, the love of that relationship, is incomparable to anything that this world has to offer. So this morning, as we sing to you, may our hearts be awakened with that. As we listen to your word taught, and we want to glean from the wisdom that you have to share with us, may we be conscious of this God who loves us so much that he sent his son. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand and worship with us?
You are good, you are good, when there's nothing good in me. You are love, on display for all to see. You are light, darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin. You are peace, when my fear is crippling. You are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, that I sing. You are life, in you death has lost its sting. And oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough, nothing compares. The world forever.
righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so Emmanuel.
Jesus, we thank you for coming down from heaven to redeem us, to rescue us from our sin, and for giving us your word that says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we would be saved. All of our hope is in you, Jesus.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need, his power is displayed. To this I hold. Sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, all the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
good thought to meditate on, that we have an eternal home. It's been paid for. What another great thought to meditate on, that right now, as we wait for that day, either your return or for you to take us from this earth to be in your presence, Jesus renews us. He refreshes us. He recalibrates us. He's our companion. He walks with us. We thank you for your word that reveals him, Lord, that today will give us insight to wisdom from heaven and its reward. We need your help to seek it diligently, because wisdom is Jesus. May he have honor in our hearts, because right now, remove distraction, ease the burdens, and may we hear from you and already say, yes, Lord, sustain me. Whatever you say, give me the strength to follow. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I want to encourage you, please, to take your Bible if you have them with you this morning, and we're going to continue our study through the book of Proverbs, finishing off Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 13. You'll notice if you took the outline from one of the tables as you walked in, or if you brought it up on your device, the title of the message is The Rewards of Applying God's Wisdom. You know, we can start off at school, and whether it's pre-K or K and up through middle school and high school, and maybe we've had the opportunity to go to college, you're told, work hard, study, keep going at it. Maybe in trade school, maybe at your job, you stepped into a six-month or one-year vocational study, and you're told at the end there'll be a reward, a job, or a promotion. So keep seeking, keep seeking, keep seeking. We've been studying through the wisest man whom God said would ever live, the wealthiest man who would ever live, as he writes kernels of wisdom, of truth, Proverbs, to his children, in particular to his sons, and said, here's God's perspective. Here's how to live life well, to live it wisely. So listen up, pay attention, because God's ways are different than your personal fleshly inclination, and they're certainly different than the way the world works without God. But this morning, can we admit that's hard? It's challenging. We're going against the grain of our own flesh, our old nature. And really, it's not the way everybody else is going. And some seem like they're really getting ahead. That seeking God's wisdom, applying his ways, can appear to be fruitless. It's okay to admit that. It's okay to say it's hard. Because you know what God says? I understand. It is. And he goes, and that's why I call you to diligence. And that's why I call you to lean in to Jesus. Because he will help you. He will strengthen you. And if you've walked with the Lord for a season or an extended season here in this room this morning, you know that as you seek God, as you seek his wisdom, as you apply his ways, there are rewards. Will we ever forget Pastor Kevin's illustration a couple of weeks ago? That when he's looking for pickles, man, he moves things. Because he really wants that pickle. There's a reward to bite into that crunchy pickle. I've never sought pickles like Pastor Kevin did. But I think he also illustrated ice cream. Oh, yeah. I've sought ice cream like Pastor Kevin seeks ice cream. And then there's a reward, especially if I find a chocolate kind that's creamy. Now here, God's saying there is a reward for seeking after wisdom. And he wants to speak to us today. He wants to remind us of what those rewards are today, because we can forget. Because we seek other things, don't we, diligently? We rise and we go to our jobs, or we rise and we start studying, or we go to school, or there's different things in our life. We have responsibilities. And why do we do it? There's a reward. There's a paycheck. There's a grade. There's a promotion. There's a well done. There's something at the end. And God says, wisdom, the reward I give to you is far greater than any reward and treasure that you could hope for on this earth. So as I read the scriptures, I'm going to come back and I want to share with you four sections out of this text to help us see what some of those rewards might be. Solomon writes, beginning in verse 13 of Proverbs 3, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come again tomorrow, I will give it,' when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence. Do not choose any of his ways, for the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace." So number one of these four outtakes or takeaways in regards to the reward of wisdom, as you and I keep seeking her, finding her, holding on to her, we'll get it. We'll get understanding. But also the profit from her is blessing, is pleasantness, and it's peace. Look at that first word in verse 13, blessed. There's a lot of Hebrew words that are translated blessed in our English translations. This one comes from the word that literally means happy. People will often say, you want to be happy? Do this. You want to be happy? Do that. God's word is saying happy is the one that's available, right? Singular, solitary. Each one of us in this room has that opportunity. Happy, blessed is the one who finds wisdom. See, it just doesn't come. The word of God, God's wisdom is in here, right? Okay, I'm going to get it. Okay, it's coming, it's coming. I can feel it, it's coming. My head's getting hot. No, it's not through osmosis. We got to find it. We We've got to seek it. And the one who does, they'll get it. They'll get understanding. They'll get what God's up to. They'll get the way God works in this world. For the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. Look, it's good to have things that money can buy, provided we don't forsake the things that money can't buy. Money can buy a house. Wisdom makes it a home. Money puts food on the table. Wisdom puts laughter around that table. Money can buy your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend or your child or your parent a luxurious item, the latest device. But wisdom draws their hearts. Scripture is saying there is profit from silver, from gold, and from jewels. But there's greater gain. There's greater profit from God's ways of living and of thinking. She is more precious than jewels, verse 15, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Wisdom never fails to lead us in paths that provide peace and pleasantness. Pursuit of silver and gold, they can lead us into paths that destroy, distract a life and make a home dysfunctional. If you need money, and who doesn't? Don't aim at money. Aim at wisdom. And God will lead you and guide you and help you in the right steps to have the exact amount of money that you need. Matthew 6 tells us that, right? As Jesus is speaking about what people get anxious and troubled and lack sleep over. And he says this one thing at the conclusion of that chapter. But he who seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know what that is? Wisdom. He who seeks Jesus, he who seeks God's wisdom, all his needs will be provided. He's saying there's enough trouble today for you to worry about tomorrow. Seek wisdom. Seek it like you're seeking the pickles or the ice cream. Don't give up. Invest time, sweat equity in seeking God's ways, and he will show you. And his promise is, your sleep will be sweet. Your path will be filled with pleasantness. That doesn't mean there won't be trouble, but there will be an inner confidence, and we'll see that in just a second, an inner confidence by him and from him that he says, I got this, I got you. And you and I know it, because we've been seeking wisdom. We've been aiming at him. And we saw a few weeks ago from 1 Corinthians that the wisdom of God is Jesus. Knowing Jesus, walking with Jesus, seeking him through the word who became flesh, God says, I bestow to you my wisdom, my perspectives, my higher principles, my moral, ethical way of life. It's there laid out for you. So he says, pick it up. Walk on those paths, because those are paths of pleasantness and of peace. And you know, and I know, that we want those things more than money and jewels. Because we know those who have the money, who have the jewels, and they don't have peace. And their paths are not very pleasant. But God says his way is. Notice what else she is in verse 18. She's a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Opens with blessed. This section closes with blessed. See, tree of life. Sounds familiar. It sure does. It's found in the book of Genesis chapter 2. When God created mankind, male and female, he created them in his image. He placed them in a perfect place. And he placed himself in that place. And he had companionship with men and women. And he said to them, there's a tree of life. Enjoy it. But there's another tree. Don't go near it because you can't handle its fruit. And here, Solomon is writing, and he says, you know what wisdom is? It's taking us back to Eden. It's taking us back to companionship with God, where he walks with us, and he talks with us, and he leads us on the way we should go. Secondly, as we keep focused on the sovereignty and power of God, the reward is discretion, security, and stability. Look at verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. Walk through Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 to see that. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open. Look at chapter 6 of Genesis, the flood. And the clouds dropped down the dew. Look outside the next few days as you see dew or snow coming down from the clouds. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, for they will be life for your soul, adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. John Piper, in a devotional, spoke about this text, in particular the dew from heaven. I want you and I to think about the power of God, sovereignty of God, the kingship of God. He's in charge. I want you to think about the wisdom it took to create the vastness of the universe and everything about it. He shares this, Piper does. Picture yourself as a farmer in the Near East, far from any lake or stream. A few wells keep the family and animals supplied with water. But if the crops are to grow and the family is to be fed, water has to come on the fields from another source. But where? Well, the sky. The sky? Water will come out of the clear blue sky? Well, not exactly. Water will have to be carried in the sky from the Mediterranean Sea, he writes, over 700 miles, and then be poured out from the sky onto the fields. Carried? How much does it weigh? Well, if 1 inch of rain falls on 1 square mile of farmland during the night, that would be 27,878,400 cubic feet of water, which is The amount of gallons is 206,300,160 gallons of water, which in weight is 1,650,501,280 pounds of water. Now, I checked Piper's math, and he was correct. That's heavy. So how does it get up in the sky and stay up there if it's so heavy? Well, it gets up there by evaporation. Really? That's a nice word. What does it mean? Well, it means that the water sort of stops being water for a while so it can go up and not go down. I see. Then how does it get down? Well, condensation happens. Another interesting word. Well, that's the water starts becoming water again by gathering little dust particles between 0.0001 and 0.0001 centimeters wide. That's very, very small. Well, what about the salt? Salt? Yes, the Mediterranean Sea is salt water. That would kill the crops. What about the salt? Well, the salt has to be taken out. Oh, so the sky picks up 1 billion pounds of water from the sea, takes out the salt, and then carries it for 300 miles, and then dumps it on the farm? Well, no, it doesn't dump it on the farm. Dumping 1 million pounds of water on the farm will crush the wheat. So the sky dribbles the 1 billion pounds of water down in little drops. I've never thought of it that way before. What wisdom would it take to accomplish such a task? The wisdom from God. And it happens every day, everywhere, in multiple ways. If God's wisdom does that, what can God's wisdom not do in your life, in the path that you need to take, in the decisions that you're making every day? He says, I've got it figured out. But it doesn't just come. You've got to seek her, love her, want her, obey her when she shows up, this wisdom of mine. And he talks about verse 23, then you will walk on your way securely and your foot will not stumble. You will lie down and you will not be afraid, and when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. I love that picture. You know, when our girls were younger, we loved to take them for walks, and they were just learning to walk, or they were doing pretty good, and I'd always say, hold my hand, and if this is where the curb is, I'd be out on the road, tell them, all right, you be close to the curb, hold my hand, and we'd walk, and they would begin to stumble for various reasons, not paying attention, or a little pothole, or there was a sewer grate, and as they were walking along, I could feel them begin to stumble, and what would I do, you know, whoop, just pick them up, then it became a game. They'd be looking for the potholes, because they like to be picked up. But then there became times where, no, 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 Daddy, don't hold my hand. I'm good, I can walk. And then as they would walk, they would hit that same pothole, that sewer grate, where I would help them, and down they'd go. I had to let them do it until they finally said, okay, yeah, I want to hold your hand again. This is exactly what the scripture's saying. God's saying, you're my child. You keep thinking, I got this. I don't need you to take a walk with me anymore, God. And he's saying, what? You don't understand. It's a terrifying world out there. It's dark. It's dangerous. And I love you. I proved my love to you. I sent my son. He gave up his life for you, so you and I can have companionship. So you can know me, and I can know you, and I could walk with you and lead your life in the ways and the paths of pleasantness and peace, even in the midst of a dark, dangerous, and terrifying world. Don't rip your hand out of my hand. I give you security because I give you perspective. I give you understanding. I give you discretion. I show to you, I say to you, this is how things really work. Here's what's going on. People will tell you, this is how the world really works. It was absolutely, but I will tell you, here's how I really work in the world. And my paths and my profit and my gain is pleasantness. It's peace. It's safety. It's security. It's giving you all that you need. Number three, one way to keep fear out and to keep fear in check is to keep loving the Lord and our neighbor as he leads us with integrity, generosity. The gain, the profit, the reward is a pure conscience and inner confidence. Notice what he says in verse 25. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence. And that word literally means companion. Because what does the gospel tell us? That whole tree of life that he offers to us? That's salvation. That's redemption. That's the beginning of a relationship. And there's a reward with that. There's an inheritance to that. There's his presence. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, you're familiar with that. And you were included in him, Jesus, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of how to be saved. Having believed in him, you were sealed. You were marked with the promised Holy Spirit, the very presence of Christ, marked and sealed us. The down payment, the guarantee of the inheritance, which is eternal life. But right there and then begins the relationship, the companionship, the confidence. And you know it, when that occurred in your life, you began to see things differently. You all of a sudden got some things. Did you get smarter? You got wiser. Because God's ways, his perspective, his understanding began to unfold and unpack in your heart. And how did it happen? Because of the joy, the dependency of just walking with him, being in his word, seeking a Bible study, talking about him with friends. You're just like, wow. And sometimes we just get foolish and we think, I can handle this journey without going to him every day. And we stumble. And we find ourselves in the pit. And we're like, what happened? He said, stop seeking Jesus. Wisdom from God. And that's why you're down in the hole. So he says, look up. Father, Father, I hear you. He inclines and he lifts us up. He lifts us out. Notice terror comes. Comes to the good, comes to the wicked. Terror happens. Trouble, unimaginable, happens. God says, I'll be your confidence. I'll be your companion. That's that vertical relationship of walking with him. And he says, and when you're doing that, and how you know you're living life well with wisdom is because you begin to see your horizontal relationships differently. You live with this love. You live with this generosity. You live with this abandonment that you just give yourself to support, encourage, help, build up others more than you're looking for support, help, and building up by others. He says there's just something that occurs when that companionship, that confidence in the sovereignty and power of God is happening in our lives, things begin to happen. And he shares that in verse 27. So he says, so do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. He's going, there's people around you who are giving the good effort, who are doing good things, who are stepping out with courage. And he says, you have influence. You can come alongside and help them and support them. It's due to them, right? I mean, every one of us, hopefully at some point when we were growing up and we were laboring in our studies and our parents said, you know, all I'm asking you to do is give your best. Do your best. I'll be satisfied with the grade. That's not exactly how it worked in my house. It was get 100 or else you're in trouble. It makes sense. Do you know who I am? I'm not the brightest guy. But to say, do your best. And guess what happens afterwards? A good grade, a decent grade, a good enough grade. And many of us would give a reward to the child. They're motivated by that. I gave my best effort and I'm rewarded. That's what God's saying. Seek me. Hold on to me. Trust in me. And there are people who are seeking after him. They're doing good. And God says, I want to use you, my children, to do them good. To be supportive of them. Be vessels in my hands. That's what he's saying. Don't withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do so. Look at verse 28. Do not say to your neighbor, this is talking about possibly helping them out with a tool, shoveling or blow-drawing their driveway, giving them a cup of milk. Did people still knock on the door and say, and hand somebody a cup and say, yeah, have a cup of milk? I don't know. It's happened probably not in a long time. But there's times where our neighbor needs help. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again tomorrow, I will give it, when you have it with you. You see, trust in God's sovereignty and God's provision. When somebody, and it's talking about your neighbor has a legitimate need, you give it because you trust God. Because you know that he says those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. You're just trusting God. Verse 29, do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. You know, society has always ganged up on people, innocent people, for whatever reason, who think differently or who they don't like. They'll spread rumors, slander, hearsay. There will be envy and jealousy. Scripture says that happens. And he says, but my children, those who seek my wisdom, don't do that. Don't get on that wagon. Don't chew on those morsels. Don't do it. Verse 31, and do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. It may seem that bold, brash, and violent people get their way. It does, doesn't it? Who's stopping them? God says, I am and I will. Well, do it now, Lord, in my good time. He says it. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord. It comes from a word that means it makes his stomach sick. God says, and I won't let it last. Finally, number four, we keep God's favor. We keep God's honor by embracing humility. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Solomon is saying, in conclusion, how you and I govern our lives impacts those around us. It says, I bless the dwelling of the righteous. Righteous is a synonymous word of those who practice my wisdom, who apply my teaching, who live the way I call them to live. You know, yesterday I gathered with some men, and one of the things we did, we looked at the proverb of the day, and yesterday was February, what was the date? Yeah, because you know today's the 14th. And in looking at Proverbs 13, I was struck, because I knew what I was going to be sharing this morning from Proverbs 3. Verse 4 of Proverbs 13, a few chapters ahead where you're looking at your Bible. Notice this. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. The soul is talking about that inner spirit, that core of who we are. There isn't a one of us. There isn't a one who's outside of Christ, who's not yet a believer, whose soul doesn't crave peace, pleasantness, stability. And yet, they get nothing when the soul is a sluggard soul. It simply means lazy. Not willing to seek. Not willing to move things around. Not willing to take some things out of their lives because the Lord said to do it. And to seek Him. And to embrace His wisdom. So they don't get it. But the diligent, those who give that effort, they are richly supplied. Going down to verse 13 of Proverbs 13, whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself. But he who reveres the commandments will be rewarded. And that's what we've been talking about. You see, the Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Toward the scorners, he is scornful. To those who dismiss, scorn, mock his word, his wisdom, and say, that is just stupid, that is foolish, God says, you will get nothing. You will not get pleasantness. You will not get peace. You may get a ton of money. You may get a ton of what money can buy, but you will miss out on the things that money cannot buy, especially the tree of life, Jesus. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. God honors those who seek Him, who diligently seek Him, who enjoy the fruit of wisdom and apply it to their lives. So, what today? We reflect and we let God's word, that we don't walk out of here saying, okay, good thought or terrifying thought, but say, what do I do with this? Say, Lord, what is it that as I'm seeking you, what do I need to do to be more diligent in that, to be better at that? Oh, because I'm looking for the reward, and the reward comes from you. Let's ask him together. Father, I thank you. Your word is alive, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes deep into the heart, in between the sinews and the ligaments, and it unpacks for us. It shows us truth. Your word has done that this morning to us. What we need to see, what we need to understand about you, and Lord, thankful for what you offer to us, these rewards. And the greatest and the best is Jesus, the epitome of wisdom, of your perspective and your way of life, who has given us the Holy Spirit, who teaches us and reminds us of everything Jesus said and did, who is our comforter, who is our helper, who is our blessed convictor and discipliner. So Lord, may we quiet ourselves enough to let you speak. and ask your help into removing those things so that what's laid out before us, purely and simply, is your wisdom. May we aim at wisdom, aim at Jesus, and entrust you in the timing of the gain, the profit, and the benefit. For your sake, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with us? We'll sing another song together.
Your greatness, oh, can they?
thank you for being with us. We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you soon.